1480 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The jury in Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial asking to rehear testimony from both David Pecker and Michael Cohen. Pecker, the former editor of the National Enquirer, and Cohen, Trump's former fixer. Here's ABC News Chief Legal Analyst Dan Abrams.
This is where prosecutors want them to start, right? This is where prosecutors say the plan was hatched. In 2015 at Trump Tower with David Pecker and Michael Cohen and Donald Trump all there talking about how they're going to look out, how David Pecker's going to be the eyes and ears looking out for any negative stories about Donald Trump, potentially to help him politically.
Further stifling dissent, 14 pro-democracy activists have been convicted in Hong Kong's biggest national security case. They all took part in demonstrations throughout 2019. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in the Czech Republic, highlighting NATO support for Ukraine against the Russian invasion. The Czech Republic was the first country to send heavy weapons to Ukraine. This is ABC News. Ukraine and Russia each saying they shot down several missiles fired by the other overnight. No word on any injuries. American Airlines missing the boat on business travel. The company's CEO now says changes it made during the pandemic to the ways that businesses would book flights have backfired. While the other airlines saw a roughly 14% bump in corporate travel in the first quarter, American says it did not see the same boost. Some science fiction may be getting closer to science fact.
Researchers are developing bandages filled with tiny sensors, which can now detect how a wound is healing. Some smart bandages will even allow doctors to remotely dispense treatments. Researchers say it would be a game changer for people with diabetes, which often stalls wound healing. Many smart bandages have shown promising results in lab tests, but they're still years from hitting the market.
That's ABC's Rhiannon Alley. Human testing on the bandages could take at least a year and a half. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Sure, the home seller's market is hot right now, but that means many people are jumping at the first offer. When you sell with the most trusted name in real estate, the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you're guaranteed the hottest offer, making you the most money for your home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, your local realtor, friend, and neighbor, has your best interest in mind and wants you to make the most of this amazing time to sell. Bring a little heat to your home selling experience with Aaron Weber Group and move to Madison.com.
You give and you give. It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included with the activation of a Silver Unlimited plan. Yeah! So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Switch to Straight Talk. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Requires in-store activation. Device offer ends 6/9/24. Taxes and fees apply.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. This summer could be the hottest in history. The National Weather Service predicts Wisconsin will see temperatures anywhere from 33 to 50% higher than normal in the months of June, July, and August. 2023 was the hottest year since 1850. Early signs of a record-breaking summer showed up last June when temperatures were around 2.7 degrees hotter than average multiple days in a row. We could see more temperature records fall in the coming months. More bad news on the weather front. Wisconsin's severe storm season is just beginning. Last year, 21 total tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin. This year, the tornado count is already 22 before the end of May. If a tornado is near, move to the basement or a room with few doors and windows. If you are outside, find a low, flat location and watch out for flying debris. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers clocked the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a big night for the Brewers outfielder Blake Perkins, with unbelievable catches in center field and making a difference at the plate.
A home run saving catch in the top of this frame. In the air, left center field, got some carry. Half at the wall, it's gone! Blake Perkins, have a night! Two-run home run for Perkins.
Brian Anderson, Valley Sports, Wisconsin. Final score, the Brewers 10, the Cubs 6. Perkins and the Crew defense making big plays. Manager Pat Murphy.
One would have been grand slam. I mean, you're talking 9 runs that you save. Oh, wait a minute. By the way, you made 3 unbelievable catches, saved all those runs. And, by the way, homer. game to remember.
NFL. At the Packers OTAs, defensive back Jair Alexander says he's determined to be more of a team player.
Just going into year seven, I'm trying not to make as much about myself and, just do what's best for the team.
That's Jair Alexander with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We're headed to 72 for a high this afternoon with wind fairly light out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, 46 and clear. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy, 77, with showers and a few scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 47.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time when we take a look at the very important topic of mental health. It is May, which is Mental Health Month. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Butter, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, I've got this whole story about Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro?
At the courthouse.
Oh.
Getting his 2 cents in.
Yeah.
And it just blew up. You know,
yeah.
No one would think it would. I mean, all he did was just appear out there with a couple of former police officers, talking down the megas.
Yeah.
And he was being shouted down.
Right.
We'll get to that in just a moment. What do you got?
I was going through some of our old air checks, some of our, the cassettes.
Classics. Absolute classics.
And I ran across this cut. I wanted to get it to Sam and play it for you. I forgot that you were on CNN, right?
Yes, yes.
With Vicky McKenna.
Vicky McKenna. We were
your old partner.
Left and right,
Yeah. Point, counterpoint kind of thing.
Exactly.
And you were on there.
Crossfire.
During what presidential campaign? Which
one was
it?
George W. Bush and Howard Dean.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have that cut, Sam?
Because everybody goes back to Madison thinking that we know what's best.
Well, sure.
That we're the political hub of everything in the country.
Well, yes.
They thought they'd get a hold of Vicky McKenna and myself and ask us
questions. To take the pulse of the political Midwest.
Because we knew.
All right.
Oh, we knew.
So this is John Peterson with Vicky McKenna.
Vicky.
She's still on the air.
I think so. She hasn't been kicked off yet, I don't think.
We keep asking her to come on the show, and I can't understand why she won't do it. Yeah. All right. Well, she's busy, I guess.
She's got an allergy to the truth.
Okay. Well, let's hear what you guys were talking about here.
All right. Let's see.
Well, joining us now from Madison, radio talk show co-hosts Vicky McKenna and John Peterson. Mm. Welcome to you both. And that brings up something that John told us earlier, that conservative talk show hosts like you, Vicky, are telling voters to get out and vote for the candidate they think has a least likely chance of winning. Is that true?
I've said it. I'm a member of the Republicans for Dean camp here in the city of Madison.
But John thinks it has more sinister meaning, right?
It's not sinister. Well, certainly it's not. We're not trying to be nice about it. We're not being serious about.
Well, John, didn't you say
Howard
it's because the Republicans are scared?
Come on.
I thought it was an excellent indication that the Republicans are frightened of the candidate. And the fact is, all three top candidates are very, very tough for Bush at this point. So let the Republicans vote for whatever weak candidate they think they have. I think that's going to be a problem for them.
John, isn't Wisconsin known for its independent voting way? Why is the more traditional candidate doing better in Wisconsin?
Well, he should be, but my feeling is that liberals or Democrats have always taken the easy or safe candidate. They don't want to offend anybody. They think it's the best way to go, and that's to please everybody. So Unlike 2000, though, I think this time they're going to stick to their guns and show up at the polls, and I think that'll be the big difference here.
Okay.
All I can say here is
Is there more?
Yeah. Are really, truly, honestly saying that Howard Dean has energized a Democratic base, then people should vote for Howard Dean, not for somebody else. Because remember, we might still be going up against a Republican Congress, and we need a strong leader to go up against him.
I'm starting to think that instead of questioning its credibility, it's starting to make the Democrats look a little petty.
Ooh, ooh.
That's Vicky.
John, you agree?
That's not necessarily true. No, I don't think the Democrats are looking petty at all. It comes down to a character issue, and I think they're taking a much closer look at what happened to George W. in that National Guard duty that he had.
All right, okay. with that said, that will be it for our debate.
So that's you and Vicky McKenna. Yeah. You know.
Wow.
That was pretty good, actually. A little point, counterpoint about the election. What year was that?
An example, it was in 2003, 2004.
Okay.
Election.
Yeah, glad we found that. Now we can, let's just send her an invitation to come in some morning.
Well, look, we gave her a little airtime here.
Yeah, okay.
You'd think she'd give us a little credit at the same time, right?
Well,
no.
It's interesting to hear the two of you together.
No, it isn't.
Okay. All right, well, get back to Robert De Niro.
The De Niro thing. Yeah. It's just blowing up. And, right. and then all of a sudden, and this is what spurred my interest in this even more, was Karl Rove making an appearance and talking about how big a mistake this was by the Biden campaign. He said, they want to get, while all the cameras were there, they wanted to get their moment in the sun, and it was a big mistake. Oh, Robert De Niro speaking out was a big mistake. See, it's this cancel culture thing on the mega right. That's what it's all about. Let's play the cut with Robert De Niro, 167, where he's being heckled by the mega cult. Okay. Let's check it out.
I mean, this is really, even these people over here are kind of, it's kind of crazy. It's really crazy. And this thing, Donald Trump, has created this. He should be telling them not to do this. But he's just...
Yeah, there it is. The loud protesters, cancel culture from the MAGAs.
That's right. Just yelling at him.
Yeah, just yelling at him. He had said, by the way, De Niro said, I don't mean to scare you. No, wait. Maybe I do mean to scare you. If Trump returns to the White House, you can kiss away freedoms that take for granted and elections. Forget about it. He was out there just, speaking his mind.
Sure.
And he was out there with the former police officers, Harry Dunn and Michael Fannin. Mm. So anyway, I thought, what really cued me up was Jeanine Pirro. Anytime you hear the voice of Jeanine Pirro, you think, cats. So cut 172. Let's listen to Jeanine Pirro's version of what she thinks about Robert De Niro speaking out his freedom to speak.
You know, my question for Robert De Niro is, what have you done for New York City, Robert De Niro? What have you done? Is there a building with your name on it? Have you built skyscrapers? Has the skyline of New York changed because of all of your vision? No.
There is a correction to that statement, by the way. Robert De Niro co-founded Tribeca Film Festival to rebuild and revitalize the Tribeca and Lower Manhattan area after the entire area was decimated on September 11th. So I guess Jeanine, she's such a loudmouth. Can you imagine her at a bar?
I wouldn't want to be anywhere near her. No.
All right, so De Niro was an embarrassment of wokeness and bashed for freely speaking out, yet the Trump cult numbskulls chanted outside the courthouse. Let's listen to the Trump cult chant, if you will. This isn't an embarrassment, right?
All right.
De Niro is the embarrassment, not these guys.
Okay.
Do we have it?
I think we got it.
171.
Here we go. What?
They're growling. This is their...
What is this?
Sounds like Mongolian throat singing.
It is. It's throat singing.
What?
It's not embarrassing at all. This is the Trump cult. Keep going.
America!
Yeah, I love America.
Thank you for participating in this ceremony with us. To America, you guys are all blessed.
There you go. So
that's weird.
Shirtless and just, well, that's not embarrassing. It's again Robert De Niro that's embarrassing.
It makes me think of the QAnon shaman from January 6th.
They were dressed like that. One of the guys had the horns.
Oh boy.
Yeah, on. Yeah.
All the face paint and furs.
They all had face paint on and they were shirtless.
Okay.
God. And that was outside the courthouse.
Yeah. Okay. That was very odd.
How many of these people were there at the courthouse to support Trump for his trial?
There really weren't that many, but the these cult members, there were three of them. They were kneeling on the ground doing a throat thing, whatever, throat chant.
Yeah.
And people were taking pictures of it. And again, this wasn't no one complained about this in the media. Fox News just loved it. Oh, they just loved this stuff. But, you know, the throat chanting. And can you imagine something like this on the left? That's really the question that I have. I tried to picture, you know, anyone on the left, a progressive,
hey,
liberal.
John. Well, it looks like we've got a call.
We have a call.
I think it's Vicky McKenna.
Oh, yeah? Vicky. Hello, this is John Peterson. Vicky? My old partner from up front?
Yes, this is Vicky McKenna. Why did you play that CNN cut anyway? You make me sound like an idiot. Why are you doing this?
Well, because it's easy to make you sound like an idiot. Just I play back your stuff and, you know, we laugh.
Don't ever do that again. All you don't have my permission to use my voice on your air.
Well, sue me.
Remember the time you threw your headphones against the wall?
Which time was that? That was like every day of the week, right?
You're disgusted.
I know. I am.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Thanks,
goodbye.
Vicky. We'll have to get her ear on the show. Definitely.
Wow. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad she finally called in. Maybe she'll call in again.
I think her voice has improved tremendously.
Sounds like she needs a little throat work. Maybe gargle first thing in the morning or something.
Maybe she's been throat singing with the Trump supporters.
That's it. Well, that could be.
Well, I think maybe she's been fire breathing too much on the air. And it's irritating her tonsils.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay. So you should call her now.
Yeah.
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 Call into her show.
I don't know when she's on. You know, she's got like a syndicated show. Who knows why she does. This is a money-making scheme that they have.
Okay. So Vicky, call back anytime. Yeah. You know, we'd love to hear from him again. Okay.
It was a dark part of my past, by the way.
I know. You don't want to even talk about it. I can tell.
I'm sweating profusely here. You know, no one can see that, thank God, but I tell you.
Coming up shortly.
Those were tough times.
Hernan Ballard will be joining us. Hernan has the Madison Library of Things, and he's just getting it started up. It's not open yet. I understand he's getting ready to open fairly soon.
He's getting the word out. He wants to get the word out.
It's kind of a rent
for this thing.
It's a library of stuff.
We don't have a lot of information on it, so we're going to ask him all the questions we need to get answered.
Yes. It's all coming up on the John and Gordy Show, episode number 150.
That's right. It is called, what is it called? the Centennial and a Half Edition.
That's what it is.
Listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for Matinair on Air.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 3rd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lawball Show.
Mad Radio WMDX, 92.7 FM at 1580 AM.
Oh, yeah. Swing. Benny Goodman. Crank it. It's good
Same
stuff, man.
What's the name of this?
This is... Sam's... he's talking to somebody right now. That is... it's on the tip of my tongue. What's this called?
Sing, Sing, Sing.
Sing, Sing, Sing. Benny Goodman. Playing it because it was... it's his birthday today.
Oh,
would have been his birthday today.
Yeah.
Hey, Scotty Summer is happening soon. Starts Monday. Don't text in yet, but it's a statewide text to win contest. Scotty Summer, Civic Media's Scotty Summer, begins Monday at 7 a.m. right here. And tune in. And when we ask you to text in, beginning Monday, you'll be able to win Wisconsin Dells prize packs, also Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets, and a chance to win the Scotty Summer Staycation. Lots of chances to win every weekday beginning Monday for a couple of weeks, beginning at 7 a.m. and going through 7 p.m. Be sure to download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or the Apple App Store. Get ready to text in to win for your first chance in the statewide contest beginning Monday at 7 a.m.
Just want to remind everybody that the Civic Media app does not have any advertising, any pop-ups, and there's no in-app sales.
Right. So yes, it's very easy to use.
It's a straight-up app.
Yeah.
Not a lot of junk connected to it, so just download it, get it, and you can listen to us anywhere. You could even probably be on your way to the moon still pick up the station.
I'm not sure if that's the case, but prove us wrong.
Yeah, prove us wrong.
We got a text
on your next
in,
flight to the moon.
We got a couple of texts.
Yeah.
Hi, John and Gordy, from Sherry in Horicon.
Well, hello again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And somebody says, hey, what's Andrew say there,
you know,
Sam?
I picture Sherry with a little... You know, John and Gordy dolls sitting on their table.
Like some voodoo dolls?
Candle.
Like
yeah,
voodoo dolls.
That's it. Sticking pins and needles in us. Yeah.
Candles
that's,
all around.
She's not alone.
That's the punishment if you guys don't do a good show, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Something's going to happen. She's warning us right now.
The second text, Andrew from Verona again. If the three-way with Todd falls through, John and Gordy, will you be offering the same services?
Oh, Lord.
There you go. See?
We have to offer another three-in-one blender so Todd can... purposely confuse it with a three-way blender.
That was the last contest. No, we're not doing that again.
No, this
okay.
I love riffing off of that. That's fantastic. Hey, I got something positive. I got something real positive.
Really? You? What? Are you kidding me?
I told you I could do this.
Really?
I had to scrape the barrel trying to find all the positive things.
What do you got?
I did come up with something. Governor Pritzker in Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, he is a fantastic spokesperson for the Democratic Party and for progressives and liberals everywhere. And he's out there. And this time they got him speaking at Northwestern University for the commencement speech. Mm. And I thought cut 125 would be fantastic to listen to as he lays it out there for everybody. Let's check this out.
The best way to spot an idiot: look for the person who is cruel. Let me explain. When we see someone who doesn't look like us or sound like us or act like us or love like us, or live like us. The first thought that crosses almost everyone's brain is rooted in either fear or judgment, or both. That's evolution. We survived as a species by being suspicious of things that we aren't familiar with. In order to be kind, we have to shut down that animal instinct and force our brain to travel a different pathway. Empathy and compassion are evolved states of being. They require the mental capacity to step past our most primal urges. This may be a surprising assessment because somewhere along the way in the last few years, our society has come to believe that weaponized cruelty is part of some well-thought-out master plan. Cruelty is seen by some as an adroit cudgel to gain power. Empathy and kindness are considered weak. Many important people look at the vulnerable only as rungs on a ladder to the top. I'm here to tell you that when someone's path through this world is marked with acts of cruelty, they have failed the first test of an advanced society. They never forced their animal brain to evolve past its first instinct. They never forged new mental pathways to overcome their own instinctual fears. And so, their thinking and problem solving will lack the imagination and creativity that the kindest people have in spades. Over my many years in politics and business, I have found one thing to be universally true. The kindest person in the room is often the smartest.
Wow. Commencement speech.
Yeah.
And that's Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Yep.
Democrat in Illinois. From Illinois. And he, according to the information that I have here, he's accomplished one of the most ambitious and consequential policy agendas in their state history.
Well, Illinois has had such a debt problem and a lot of corruption problems, but somehow he has taken the lead the last few years there and done a lot of good things.
He has.
Pritzker, and he's gotten noticed by the Democratic Party.
Yes.
And who knows, maybe he'll run for president someday? Is that
the
thinking?
I think that's the thinking on the right.
Oh.
The Heartland Signal wrote this: Illinois Republicans are upset with JB for passing his sixth balanced budget that funds education, cuts the grocery tax, and establishes an earned child tax credit. Hard to believe they didn't have that down there.
Sixth balanced budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their complaint? His policies are earning him a national profile. That's their complaint. They're really serious. So this is exactly what they one Republican argued against. The passage on the grounds that Pritzker is going to run for president in the future. This is a quote. At the end of the day, folks, this is all about Governor Pritzker's dream of being president of the United States. How horrible is that, right? You know. Among other criticisms were outcries about too much spending, which Republicans have routinely exposed as outrageous and horrible, and we got to give tax cuts to the people who've already made tons of money. Yeah. Anyway, this is Pritzker, you know, doing his thing down there in Illinois. My brother's in Illinois, and he's hated Illinois simply because of the taxes.
Well, yeah.
You know,
a lot of people are leaving Illinois and coming, supposedly, you know, moving to Wisconsin.
Well, I don't know.
Moving
if they're
to
moving
Indiana.
Here.
Yeah. Indiana.
Yeah.
Some other places.
Local. We're a little backward up here. You know what?
Illinois people.
Yeah, it's like moving through some kind of time warp. You know, crossing the Chitter Curtain, suddenly it's the 1800s again. You know?
Well, it's not quite that bad. But
oh, it is that bad here. Yeah, oh, my gosh. Different. I mean, we are encased in amber, as I've always said.
I didn't know your brother lived in Illinois.
Crystal Lake.
Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful town.
Yeah, it is a real nice town.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's complained about it. He built his house down there. You know, taxes went up, and he's really unhappy. And but, you know, he's surviving. He's just make it.
Well,
you know,
we should have him come up on the show sometime.
He used to work for the U-Lines, big executive at the U-Line company. So he's just squeaking by.
Coming up, we're going to be talking to Hernan Ballard about the Library of Things opening up soon in Madison. Coming up on the John and Gordy Show.
John and Gordy Show. Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Since the 1980s, Wisconsin has always encouraged youth to get trained on operating farm equipment. Is that still appropriate today? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. One of our state farm safety specialists says, with the size of equipment we've got today, Wisconsin should rethink the age guidelines for youth that can operate it. More on the way.
Any lender can tell you about banking, but few know the business ins and outs of farming and ranching. That's where Compere Financial stands apart. We are here with unparalleled ag industry expertise, a forward-thinking mindset to identify your challenges and opportunities, and the ability to support smart decision-making for your operation. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Youth in Wisconsin as young as 12 and 13 years of age can indeed legally operate farm equipment on roadways so long as they've received 24 hours of education. John Schutzke, farm safety specialist in Wisconsin, says it's probably time to rethink that.
We've done about four recent years worth of farm fatality investigation. We are still the state's most dangerous occupation. We have about 30 to 40 people who die as a result of farm work-related activities and tasks. A lot of those are public highway, and a lot of them are kids. A lot of the farm fatalities generally are kids. So I think that it's time that we really take a look at this and make sure that we're doing the right thing for kids, for their families, and also the people that are responsible for training these kids, because it's a liability issue.
John Schutzke, he's a farm safety specialist with University Extension in Wisconsin. He said he's just starting this conversation now about rethinking Wisconsin's guidelines on how young youth can be when they operate that farm equipment. He said he hopes every parent or guardian slows down to think about the responsibilities they're giving to those young people, training or not, when it comes to operating farm equipment.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And Wisconsin Department of Agriculture has circulated a survey to all licensed dairy operators in the state about 30 different questions they want you to answer, including things like your business structure, labor, and succession planning. Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski says, please return the survey completed. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today. We're headed to 72 for a high this afternoon with wind fairly light out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, 46 and clear. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy, 77, with showers and a few scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
When you finally find your person you call the one, the search for a truly extraordinary piece of jewelry that embodies all that they are, it can be difficult. That's why the team at Goodman Jewelers in Madison is the place to call. With an award-winning goldsmith on staff, creating a custom one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry that reflects every unique detail comes easy. Together, you'll walk through the design process to bring your vision to life. Call 608-257-3644 and trust that Goodman Jewelers will create a treasure you and your loved ones will cherish for generations to come.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates radio show. The jury is still out. Will it be a quick conviction? Dom's hoping. Or an agonizing deliberation? I'm hoping.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 3 to 6.
Bum, bum, ba-dum-dum, bum, bum.
portion of the show is being brought to you by Smiling Eddie's Auto Repair Shop. If your car is having engine trouble, bring it on down to Smiling Eddie's, where this week only you'll save 20% on a free estimate.
That's where you should go, Sam. You got to work on
that
Volkswagen.
I really got to check it out. Yeah.
I want to see that vehicle again. I'm just fearful that you're going to park that in the front yard and that'll be it, and it's just going to rust away.
Oh, trust me, my parents won't let that happen. They don't want it in their yard on their property.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. That's your impetus to go for it.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy. And
I'm John.
And I'm Gordy.
There we go.
Okay. thanks for people interrupting.
People get us confused.
Okay. We're welcoming in our guest this morning, Hernan. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Hernan Ballard. Did I get it close?
Oh, close enough, yeah.
Well, how do you pronounce it?
We want to get Hernan.
Hernan. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hernan?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Hernan. And no H.
Yeah, no H. Or there is a silent H.
Well, I like that. Hernan.
Got it. Oh, yeah. So you have something called...
Sounds like a character out of the Lord of the Rings or something.
Okay.
Hernan.
So, okay. Tell us all about the Madison Library of Things. Is this soon to open up? And what is it?
Well, I guess we're kind of at the development stage. We have a small group of people. We are kind of running a census type thing right now, a big survey to see where we would put this Library of Things, who would be a part of it.
On a website, you know.
Yeah, so it's all pretty much just meetings and a website right now, and because of course I'm not really sure if you know people from say the far west side would necessarily walk or want to go all the way to the east side for a Library of Things. So for the first location, we're just trying to figure out where and you know who will be a part of it, and so that's kind of you asked what a Library of Things.
You want what kind of things?
Yeah, well, so
you're gonna have.
So what is the plan? I mean, you get a whole bunch of things, and people need those things, and they can have access to those things.
They can borrow them, right?
Yes, and absolutely. Borrow them for no fee at all.
No. Well, so the funny thing,
$10 membership fee,
some sort of membership fee.
Okay.
Yeah,
makes sense. So
the funny thing about this particular Library of Things is now there are libraries of things like this that exist, say, in Canada or in other places. That we're a co-op.
Okay.
That's the idea so far. And so we don't really have like this thing of an opening date or a big, you know, a philanthropist or like the city government behind us or anything like that. It's more like the actual members are basically the people that are...
Well, after this broadcast, the city is going to jump on board. I can guarantee you that.
So now, are you associated with the Madison Library in some way? Okay, so you're not at all. You're completely independent.
Although they do have a library of things of their own. Okay. It's just... And kind of the difference between, I guess, theirs and what ours would be is... ours would be more like the ones you see in other big cities, which... You know, have thousands of tools and thousands of members, basically huge, and they're usually in warehouses and sometimes have a makerspace as well. But really, really big scale projects. Madison Library of Things, they do have a Library of Things, but the Madison Public Library. But it's like, you know, kind of we're not really sure how things are put into that inventory, like who decides them. Like it's very clear with a cooperative one. You just show up, you say, hey, I think we should have this. Let's vote on it. And then, you know.
Sounds like an easy way to maybe gear things toward seasonal events. I mean, you know, people have a lot of public gardens, but they don't have the room. They have apartments. They don't have room for all of the shovels and gardening equipment that they possibly need for setting up those gardens. And they could go to you, you know, to lend out that equipment for them. Yeah. You know, just one idea, but I'm sure, you know, there are other seasonal events that, you know, they could use equipment for, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And speaking of gardening, I mean, this is something where lots of these projects already exist. Like, for example, in Dallas, there's a huge seed library. And so it is also a very seasonal thing. You go, you take some seeds, you check them out, just like you would a book, and then you grow them.
That'd be a great idea.
Yeah, and then you return the harvest, a little bit of it.
It's hard to believe anything can grow in Texas, but...
I know.
So what kind of things have you gathered so far, and where are you storing all this stuff? I mean, are you...
You're looking for a warehouse of some sort?
Yeah. But right now we don't have any central anything. Obviously, some of the some of us that are on like the steering committee and the initial members have basically said, we'll volunteer these things if we get to that critical mass to put the things in the place.
Okay.
but right now it's just those suggested items. And also, of course, there are, you know, potentially things we wouldn't necessarily be able to put in quite yet. For example, I think some of us have thought, well, it'd be interesting to have, say, a car in there. But I don't think we would have the right away the infrastructure or insurance capabilities to have, say, a car or anything.
Yeah,
like that
might not work.
Yeah.
But not yet. Anyway.
Now, on the east side, I've seen like closed down garden centers. You know, they have large indoor warehouses that are just closed down, shuttered at this point. I think on Packard Avenue, you know, something like that. You could house a lot of stuff in, has access, driveways, parking areas, that kind of stuff, too. You know, again, I don't know what the price would be near the airport, but you know, something like that. Is that kind of the idea of something you might be interested in?
Absolutely, yeah. Probably something. And so far, most of our interest has been from the east side, which would make it very easy for us because we know that there are places like that on the east side that are pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to having to find something downtown, where also maybe a lot of people are students and just don't really need necessarily the same thing, like especially home improvement tools that you need on the east or west side.
Right.
Well, other than tools and other rental equipment that you would find at like an A to Z rental or something like that, or gardening tools, what other, I mean, are you, is it wide open? And what kind of things people might want to gather so people can borrow them and.
Yeah.
Like, what's the most unusual thing you've discussed in the steering committee that's come up?
Well, I guess it's been suggested actually on the last show we're thinking fishing gear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that makes sure. Yeah.
I don't know about unusual things yet. I think because Library of Things, they just have just such a huge array. I am actually very impressed by the Madison Public Library for having a bird watching kit. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, that is
a
nice.
Bird watching kit.
Yeah, which by the way, as far as I know, not many people have checked that out ever. So, but I hear it's fantastic, so I highly recommend it.
So now do I understand you and Sam were in school together? Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
We both did student radio, for the most part, we met through a filmmaking class.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
You're a filmmaker yourself. You're like a big time filmmaker. You've been touring the country with a documentary you made.
Is that right?
Yeah. In 2023, actually the day after I graduated, I went on tour.
Wow.
So I didn't have any rest. But I toured this documentary independently to 12 theaters or 13 theaters, 12 states, I basically just did the whole thing myself, self-financed with the help of a friend, and then we broke even.
Good for you.
What was the documentary about?
It was about my friend Ellen trying to, who's right now actually, as we speak, trying to row around the world.
Wow.
In a rowboat.
Okay.
Oh, wow, that is ambitious.
How do you do that in the ocean?
it's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, I bet.
Pick the shortest route to a continent, I suppose.
Yeah, but people have rowed all three oceans, but nobody's ever actually continuously or gone through
all the way
around, say, the Cape of South Africa or anything.
Sure, there's
like
a reason for that. They don't survive.
Yeah.
Talking with. Ernan Ballard about the Madison Library of Things. So what is your projected, do you have a plan as far as when you would like to open this up as far as sometime this summer or sometime soon? Or you've got to find a facility first.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, I think we would like to just find one as soon as, maybe by the fall, realistically.
Okay.
But as soon as we get that, whatever the magic number is, probably in the hundreds of prospective members, to be able to say, okay, we have say 750 people that are willing to contribute, say $10 a month. Mm-hmm. If it's a very low amount that people are willing to contribute, then
Something that occurred to me just as you said that a lot of people have extra equipment. They've got garages full of stuff that they don't use anymore. They don't know what to do with. Mm-hmm. Hard to recycle. Hard to get rid of a chainsaw that they don't have any need anymore because they've got a battery operated chainsaw. You know, they've gone to batteries instead of the mixed gasoline and oil. Maybe, you know, there's a way to plumb that resource, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the appeals for this type of library is that, so say, I think when Toronto, when they opened their first Library of Things, like 80 or 90% of the things that they had in the first year were just free donated.
There you go.
People were like, well, it's been in my garage. It's functional, but it's been there for years. Nobody's used it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they hadn't used it really for more than a few times. Like, I remember especially the, there was a statistic they brought up during that of the average power drill gets used evidently about 13 minutes in its life.
In its whole life?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds like something Gordy has in his garage.
I haven't touched it in 2 or 3 years. Yeah. Well, no, that's true. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of things like that that people have just laying around. So if people want to donate or if they want to find out more about what you're setting up here with the Madison Library of Things, how do you suggest they do that? How can they get a hold of you?
Well, go fill out the survey.
Okay.
First.
And how did you do that? What's the site?
It's on madlot.org, madlot.org. Yeah.
Madlot.org.
Easy to remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we also have meetings on the first Thursdays of every month. Right now they're all on Zoom because we're not sure which side we're going to be on yet. Mm-hmm. of the city, but so far on Zoom. We might have, maybe we'll have some at the public library or something like that. But for now, it's online only. And and that's basically where we're trying to, at this stage, just find the people.
Mm-hmm. So I got a question. You've done a decent bit with cooperative housing in Madison. How does starting a cooperative library like this compare to how cooperative housing is run? And I don't know if you've done stuff with starting new housing cooperatives in town, but how does it compare to that?
Well, I think one thing that's very different is the massive amount of financing needed
for the
start.
Housing.
Yeah, it's not like it was in the 70s when some of the other co-ops were started, mm-hmm. where you could just squat a place, and it was always non-hierarchical. Mm-hmm. Now you have to go get out a huge loan and work with the city or something like that. Mm. Or you have to find like 30 really well-off people with lots of savings to get together.
Yeah.
So the scale financially is massively different. I think a Library of Things is much more feasible for just lots of regular people to just start.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessarily quite there yet for people to do the same thing with housing. The great thing is that I think it could be a lot less bureaucratic. We don't really necessarily, and of course, most of the Libraries of Things in this country, mm-hmm. are still kind of operating under that like entrepreneur mindset of let's just like find a really rich person, get some like venture capitalists or some loans or some huge grants, and let's spend years doing that, not really finding the people. And we're kind of doing it the other way. Is we're trying to find the people first,
mm-hmm.
and if we can get those people, I think it's going to be much more sustainable long term, because we'll know we'll actually have a community ready that wants a Library of Things.
Yeah, excellent. Well, we wish you all the best. I mean, it's a great sounding project. I think there's a need for it, obviously, in Madison. So,
and you're saying that this is available in other countries, Canada and everything, right?
Yeah, and I think ours might resemble more of the Canadian ones. Mm-hmm. So the term Library of Things is more of a Canadian thing because it's a broad, big base thing. Most of the American ones are tool libraries, you might say, just hardware.
Yeah,
but ours is. You know, you could be musical instruments, you know, film equipment,
there you
anything.
Go. Perfect, yeah.
Bernard Ballard, thanks for coming in. Good luck with the Madison Library of Things. And if people want to find out more, Madlot, that's madlot.org.
Yep.
Thanks for visiting with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here.
I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Their work to drive visitation and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover our great state, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. To learn more about what these great organizations are doing, visit destinationswisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Man, dig this crazy pad. Man, it's a mad pad.
WMDX. 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, the John and Gordy Show, broadcasting live from State Street. And this is a big program. This is the huge program. This is the program that will change everybody's life because it is a special edition of that the is. Family Show.
Oh, it's special, all right. It's episode number 150.
There you go.
Pardon me. The centennial and a half edition. And what an edition it's been. You know, we talked to Hernan, and about the Madison Library things. We had Vicki McKenna on earlier.
Yeah, yeah, Vicki.
she didn't sound like herself, but it was her.
Many years of drinking and smoking.
Those cigars. If she would just back off on the cigars, I think her voice would sound a lot better.
She drank a lot, lot of Pepsi.
Ah, yeah.
All right. Okay. I want to get to the farm program because, you know, we're big supporters of the farm community in the state. We believe very strongly in the dairy state, America's dairy land. The farmers are fantastic in this state. I think they deserve all of the support, all of the tax cuts and breaks that are necessary, that are given to big business. Forget them.
Well,
support the farmers. We're losing too many dairy farms as it is.
A lot of corporate farms.
Yeah. Yeah. And they deserve whatever help they need. Because I've talked to a few farmers.
I know you have.
And they have up and down years. And some years, because of the cost of running the farm, they may make a profit, but that profit goes right out the window with upkeep. And, you know, they have to make purchases, so they break even, and sometimes they don't exactly break even.
Yeah.
And so they use some of the programs, social programs. They use Medicaid, which is Badger Care in the state.
Sure.
So there are a lot of things, and they use SNAP, the food stamp program, as well. So the new farm bill, according to the House Republicans, they are cutting. They're going to slash things in the farm bill. Especially the SNAP program, which, you know, farmers, a lot of their products go into the SNAP program. Mm-hmm. And one of the people, one of the Democrats supporting this is Representative Jasmine Crockett, making a name for herself. She's out there a lot. She was talking about the opposition to some of the things in the farm bill that she just finds repugnant. And I have cut 162. Let's listen to her her way of describing the farm bill.
And when we say things like we're fighting for SNAP benefits, I do want to be clear that me fighting for SNAP benefits isn't about my district. I mean, obviously it is, but at the end of the day, so many members have said, my district, my district, my district, my district, my district. When we write a farm bill, it is for everyone in the United States of America. And just to clarify, when it comes to SNAP benefits specifically, rural America uses more SNAP benefits than urban America. And right now, I serve an urban district. The majority of my Republican colleagues serve rural districts. So when I say that I'm fighting for a bill that includes making sure that people in this country don't go hungry, I'm not saying that just to say that this is about Texas 30. I'm saying that to say that this is about all of us. So I am not just fighting for my constituents. I'm fighting for yours, too.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Standing up for the farmers, standing up for rural communities and the small communities that need all of the help they can possibly get to keep their health centers open, the farmers getting the food stamps that they need, and certainly, you know, some of the health care that they'll certainly need if they have a bad year or a down year.
Yeah, the SNAP program, as was mentioned there, more people in the rural communities use it than in urban areas.
Yeah,
yeah. The SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program.
Right.
It's just SNAP. They used to actually have food stamps.
There was a booklet with stamps in them,
and you had to haul it out at the grocery store. And
now it's just a card.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a card, but
electronic.
Yeah, but yeah.
You can tell that a lot of the megas don't pay attention to the policies because there aren't any policies that they're proposing. But when they do have bills with policy items in it, they're always cutting the policies.
Well, especially if it's a social program for the needy.
Yes, because they always consider it a government handout.
Yeah.
And it makes people dependent on the government. That's not true. That is absolutely not true. These are the people who've been rejected by capitalism or affected by capitalism.
And many of them, or most of them, are working. They're just working poor.
Yes, they're working poor as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really important. And we have Jasmine Crockett out there from Texas speaking out in support of the rural communities. And I think Democrats really do support the rural communities so much more than the Republicans. And it's simple. You know, they don't want to provide handouts. And that's the only excuse they have for abandoning and helping these people in the rural communities get what they need, like high-speed internet.
High-speed internet. A lot of hospitals and clinics are starting to close down because they can't get the funding or the nurses or the doctors to come out to the rural communities. And it's tough all the way around.
I got a list here. Who has solutions to America's greatest needs as a growing nation? I'll pass this along. Okay. Democrats are for universal health care. Republicans are against affordable prescription drugs. They were against that. Republicans against that. It's wake me. I must be having a nightmare.
A nightmare, yeah.
Universal pre-K. Republicans against that. Women's rights, obviously. Mm-hmm. Voting rights. Child tax credits, common sense gun reform, vaccination mandates when it's necessary during a pandemic, minimum wage increases, tax increases on the wealthy, protecting the environment. No brainer.
The list goes on and on.
Family paid leave, immigration reform, tax breaks for the wealthy. We're against controlling a woman's body. We're against that. And easy access to guns. We're against that.
Yeah.
The agenda is so clear
that
it's hard to imagine to be anywhere near a Republican polling place voting for Republicans or the MAGA party.
Yeah.
There aren't any Republicans anymore. It's a MAGA party.
It is. And that's the story. I mean, it's just differences couldn't be more drastic.
More stark.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Hey, that is going to wrap it up for the John and Gordy Family Show, the 150th edition. But we will be back bright and early tomorrow morning, and Rocker will be here with a Max Inc. preview. We hope you have a wonderful day.
I hope we get another call from Vicky sometime in the not-too-distant future.
So long.
God. Morning
in the morning,
as we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Earl Ingram.
Thursday morning, I'll be joined by award-winning newspaper columnist, political commentator, and good friend, Joel McNally.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Are your taste buds bored? Awaken those tired senses with a culinary treat at La Pollera Colombiana in Madison. La Pollera Colombiana's delicious, authentic cuisine is like taking a food journey through Colombia. There's a dance of flavors in every bite. Open Sunday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 9 a.m. till midnight. La Pollera Colombiana, 3579 East Washington Avenue in Madison. Your taste buds will thank you. La Pollera Colombiana.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.